That's really a privilege for me. If you don't know me, my name is Pat Bryson, and I'm just basically a troublemaker. So somebody smile at me right now.
Amen.
This is biblical. The Bible, Paul wrote about some who trouble you, and that's been my designation. No, that's really not true. No, I've had a relationship with this congregation now for about 5 years. Time flies when we're having fun. And it's really wonderful. So I get to come here every three months. If I've been bad, the pastor won't let me come for 4 months, 4.5 months. Am I right, Terry? Yeah. So the opportunity to be here is something that happens for me regularly, but I never take it for granted because what God has deposited here is really special. See, I remember listening to a brother who had a great influence in my life, Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford is like a senior statesman in the body of Christ and been in ministry for about 70 years, something like that. You know, he has a little experience. And he was blessed. You know, God blessed him. I went to his church when it only had 7,000 people. And morning service sanctuary seated 2,300 people, and you had to fill the building and empty it three times on Sunday. It was kind of exciting. And he said, but the brother that he submitted to as an elder to him had a church about 5 or 6 miles away that had 300 people. And somebody asked him one time, isn't that weird that, you know, here you are with all these people and you submit to this guy over here as an elder to you and he's got like 300 people in his church. That's smaller than your Sunday school, you know. And he said, God only occasionally does something that is large, but he does precious things in people all the time. Did you get that? See, so often we're looking for the big or the spectacular, aren't we? Come on now.
Yes.
Come on now. I mean, Super Bowl Sunday. It's our spirit. It's like, 80,000 people and screaming and fireworks and hopefully something that's not offensive to our senses for the halftime show, but we won't go there. And but it's a big event. Something like a billion people around the world watch it. You know, I mean, it's just big is beautiful, isn't it? But that isn't the way God always sees things. So, in the book of Judges, there's a kid who's afraid, hiding out from the enemies of Israel, in a wine press. And he's in there beating with sticks some wheat so he could try and eventually get some flour. Boy, that's a great candidate for leadership, isn't it? And God sent an angel to him. Do you realize that's biblical? We're not supposed to be fascinated with angels. We're not supposed to be distracted with angels. But they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. So even though Gideon had no clue. Everybody say no clue.
No clue.
God sent his messenger anyway. Somebody help me. When this young man had no estimate of the reality of what God had put in him, he had no understanding or no vision for what God had created him to do. Somebody help me. God sent his messenger anyway. Now, it's interesting, you know. Messengers of God are really interesting creatures. They're eternal. All the ones who were ever going to rebel against God already decided to, and they became demons. And the faithful messengers of God never exercise any faith whatsoever. They live by sight because they see God all the time. When Gabriel came, he says, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. So they got an assignment that's just crazy, amazing. But they're sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, the people who live by faith like you. Isn't that kind of like backwards? I mean, they got all this, they can see all the glory of God, and yet they're sent to minister to these broken people, these people who don't get it. Anybody fit into the don't get it department? I got to raise both feet to agree with that. I mean, we're broken and dysfunctional, and God sends these powerful spiritual beings to minister to us and help us in what he's assigned us to do. Frequently, the kingdom of God is called the upside-down kingdom. Because God, once again, likes the, he puts authority in somebody's life who takes care of 300 people to oversee somebody who takes care of 7,000 people. Because it's not about size. It's not about even about education or your preparation or your skill set. It's about the gift and calling upon God upon somebody's life and how he wants to outwork within that person his destiny. Remember the word destiny. Put it, you know, if you're taking notes, write destiny down, underline it, because we're going to come back to it in a minute. So the story of Gideon is somebody who doesn't get it, but God is so intent on him getting it. Somebody help me. God is so intent upon him getting it that he sends one of these fiery messengers. They're also called ministering flames of fire. To come to this broken young man who comes, we're going to find out he's from a very dysfunctional family. His parents are idolaters. He had to go home and destroy the false altar of his parents to be released into what God had destined him to. So if anybody has any family issues here, you've got nothing compared to what Gideon had. But it didn't prevent the calling of God upon Gideon's life to be a deliverer to God's people. Woo! Somebody help me. So if you'd taken a snapshot of Gideon's life 15 minutes before, or 15 days before, or even 15 years before, the conclusion you would have drawn is he's never going to get anywhere. He's got too much fear. He's from too dysfunctional of a family. I don't think he'll be able to hold up under the pressure. But God. Am I right, Larry? But God. And so God intervened in the life of this young man because the destiny and the purpose he had for him was so great he would not allow anything. Misunderstanding, low self-identity, self-consciousness, fears, and all the other stuff in the idolatry in his family, he wouldn't allow any of that to prevent him from entering into what he had for him. Oh, somebody help me. Help the preacher today. Give me some encouragement here. Am I talking to the right people, or do I need to go down the street to somewhere else to preach this morning? God wants you to understand that at this point in your life, no matter if you're 70 or you're 7, if you're 17, it doesn't matter that at this point in your life, whatever assessment you could make of how far you've come and what you've accomplished and where you're going to, it doesn't prevent the destiny of God that he has for you that he wants to release in your life. I've got great news for you. You're not too young. You're not too old. It's not too late. God's that good. God's that good. Whew. So, Gary was silly enough as to invite me down here. And we've had a conversation about me being a prima donna this week in all the demands. I said, eventually I'm going to get to the place where I want a green room. I want it to 72 degrees. I want mini York peppermint patties waiting for me. I really don't have a prima donna complex, you know. No, we just talked about being together. You know, a real conversation was about loving you, about serving you, about how we could be a blessing to you. And it's great to be with you. But as I was praying about being here, God likes to play with me. A long time ago, when I was a young pastor, I systematically read and taught through the entire book of Exodus with my congregation. A lot of them left. I don't blame them. New ones came and said, what is he talking about? You know, I mean, here we are in the 25th chapter of Exodus, and where are we going to? And when I finished, God came to me, and he said to me, have you got that out of your system? It's really what happened. That's exactly what he said to me. And I said, yes, sir, I got it out of my system. He says, that's good, because you're never going to preach that way ever again. So then I called it the Chinese water torture period, where I would prepare a sermon, I would get all ready, and then he would change it at the last minute when I got up. And we went through 2 or 3 years of that. I had times when somebody else was supposed to preach, and you aren't even supposed to preach today. Go get that guy. He has a word, you know. have him come up and preach. So all that, whenever God's playing with you, let me help you out. Whenever God's doing something unusual with you and it's outside of your comfort zone, I call it, he's a playful God. He enjoys this, you know. I mean, do you enjoy playing with grandchildren? I mean, do you getting down with the three-year-old is just a hilarious experience. First of all, you're not going to keep up with them. So just make yourself stationary and let them run around you. It makes a lot more sense. But I mean, the interaction with them is incredibly joyful and it stimulating. And even if they're crying and sobbing, there's just something so tender in it, isn't it? It's glorious. I mean, you feel rejuvenated afterwards. And God feels that way with us. So I didn't understand how he's working with me. And I began realizing that he just downloads something to me and he wants me to be responsive to it. That I can do all the preparations I want to, but what really matters is saying and doing what God wants to say and do right now. So I was in that prayer process on the way down here, and I had some things that were on my heart that I really felt were alive. And as we were, Joel was driving, good thing, because I would have been really distracted. And the Spirit of God came to me and said, "What does the unfolding of destiny look like?" Now, the other thing I've learned about God in 51 years of relationship with him is he never asks a question that he doesn't have the answer to already. So what he said, "What does the unfolding of destiny look like?" And so I've learned to be a wise man. I said, "You know, Lord." I could guess, but I don't think I would guess correctly. And so he began to speak to me, and he said, "It looks like people having love for one another." He said, "It looks like people who bear with one another. It looks like people who serve one another. It looks like people who go out of their way to bless one another. It looks like people who forgive one another." Whew. Let it settle in. "And it looks like people who continuously, ongoingly, Karen, encourage one another." Whew. Smile at me. Now, we were talking about the destiny of God. And, well, Pat, I thought you were talking about this young man and he has this calling on his life. And even though he's hiding out and he's fearful, that the destiny of God's going to be exposed to him and he's going to be a mighty leader of people. Well, that was the destiny for him. But your destiny is just as important to God as the destiny for the man of God that we were talking about. See, Gideon had a calling on his life, and we go, "Well, yeah, he had a calling on his life, but you have a calling on your life." The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He's never, you know, you can be 82 or 83. You could be 90, and God's calling on your life has never been revoked from your life, no matter what you've gone through, what you've done. God is absolutely consistently set upon having his way in your life. That's got to make you feel good. I mean, which is greater, your weakness or the greatness of God to triumph in doing his will in your life? Come on now. I think some of us have more faith in our weakness than we do in the greatness and the power of God to work and effectively bring us through in our life. Come on. Come on, the sum total of all your difficulties today is like a pea in the mattress of the princess that she just making her a little uncomfortable. It's nothing compared to the greatness of the glory and the majesty of God and his ability in your behalf. I think we've overestimated our difficulties. Can I be real with you? We've made mountains out of molehills. We've built up these edifices of the great crises and the problems we're in. Is it reality that God is right now shaking nations? Yes, it is. But it hasn't changed the irrevocable call of God upon your life. Stock markets go up and down. People come and go in political office. That's why we cannot have our confidence in just a political system for the righteousness of God to prevail in a nation. It requires a church that's militant and alive to the purposes of God for righteousness to triumph in a nation. You can elect the most wonderful people into office, but if we don't have a praying church in place standing for what God wants, they will be ineffective. Are you with me? So my hope and my confidence is in the greatness of God, not in systems, not in methodologies, but in the greatness of God. So will you turn in your Bible to the book of Colossians, the third chapter, and I want to encourage you, turn to somebody and say, he won't be talking very long. Come on now. That makes somebody really happy, I can tell. So the third chapter of Colossians, we're gonna spend some time on verses 10 through 17. So I had this encounter in which the Lord said, what does the unfolding destiny of God look like? And these verses are going to outline in more detail what the destiny of God looks like carried out in our lives. But I had another experience. Can't help it. The prophetic is about bringing the reality of God's overriding kingdom into bear, into everyday life. And so he lets me have experiences. It's not because you're supposed to trust in experiences. You aren't. You better trust in the Word of God. You better study it. You better spend time there. You better meditate on it. Any experience that anybody has, me or you or anybody else, has to be judged by God's inerrant Word. It's not judged by our titillation level or our amusement level or our excitement level. It's judged by the Word of God. But I was really spiritual last Friday. I mean, I was so spiritual. I was contemplating the foolishness, the stupidity of a sports team that would trade away their best wide receiver for future draft picks. What is that? Dan, what is that? I mean, you have a guy who caught 1,200 yards worth of passes last year, and I don't know how many touchdowns. And why don't we get rid of him? I mean, like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Isn't the proper name of the team, not the Chiefs? But anyway, that's another story. So you can tell where I was at in my spiritual orientation. Are you with me, Dan? You know where I was at. I'm just like, hey, dagnabbit, this stupid team that I love, what are they doing, you know? And then I was in my living room, and I looked up, and there were two large messengers from God there. And they were about 12 feet tall, because that's the height of my ceiling, and each one was about 6 foot wide. And I was going, huh. So when I don't know, when I have an experience, I ask God about it. You know, what are they here for? And the Lord answered me immediately. He said, they're here for the heavy lifting. So immediately I thought of these guys, these big dudes going out and bench pressing my Toyota Camry for a while. Or, I mean, heavy lifting, what is that? You know, is my foundation off? Are they going to pick the whole house up and then move the foundation? I mean, heavy lifting. I didn't even know what that meant. But I won't go into all the details of it, but later that day, I'm still just pondering on it. When you have an experience with God, ponder on it, search out the Word, talk to godly people. You know, you aren't supposed to just judge everything for yourself. See, we're Americans. We try and figure everything out. A lot of you have had dreams, and you've never understood the dream because, I'll be honest with you, you've never shared it with anybody else. You just think you're supposed to figure it out. But God gave you a dream, and he wants you to understand it, but he wrapped it up in mystery, and we're supposed to process mystery in two places, worship and together. Worship and together. The place we solve mysteries is conversations over dinner tables, and this just doesn't work for me, and I don't know why this isn't working. And then somebody, have you had that? You've had this experience. You're sitting around talking with a friend, and something that has had you stuck for 6 months or 6 years, and all of a sudden there just comes wisdom, like walked in the room through a friend, and it put everything in perspective. So I was sharing with Gary, have a dear friend, a worship leader, apostolic father kind of guy, neat guy, been through lots of hard times, lots of difficulties, been through losses, been through pain, and come out on the other side. He was the worship leader for Mike Bickle at the International, before the International House of Prayer. He's a worship leader for him for years. But just a seasoned veteran in the kingdom. And I was just stuck in some areas. I'm probably talking to the wrong group of people, Vicky, but people like me get stuck. And I was stuck, you know. And I think I was just smart enough to say, I need help. And are you smart enough to do that? See, a lot of our problems stay with us because we just don't say, help! I need somebody to help me. So I called him up and I said, you know, we'd worked together, like we'd done meetings together. He did worship and I did some facilitating and taught and stuff. And so we'd worked together, but we hadn't really built a relationship yet. I said, do you have some time for me? He said, sure. He said, I can meet you at Panera Bread up in Kansas City on 103rd Avenue. And there's a Panera Bread there. I'll meet you there at like 11 o'clock. And he got there and he said, I'm really sorry. I've only got a half hour. And I said, okay. And he said, what's going on? And I went through several areas of my life, and he just began talking to me. He said, I'm under a lot of pressure. And he said, then you need to be generous. You're under pressure. You need to be generous. He said, I moved into my house, and I started mowing the lawns for four other people besides myself, and I've kept doing that for 12 years now. They never asked me to mow their lawns. I never asked them for permission to mow their lawns. I just mow four lawns every week because I can. And he said, because my life is about being generous to other people and sowing to other people's life. So I set myself in a way that I'm always erring on the side of generosity of my time, my energy, and my resources. Hello. And then he shared like four or five other points with me in a half hour, and then he had to leave. Still got that notebook. And that half hour shifted my life. At that point in my life, we'd been through 7 years. We'd moved to Kansas City. We'd sold our house. We were debt-free. We had no challenges. And we went into the destiny of God for our life, but it included being isolated. It included being nothing working. Anybody have nothing working happen in your life? I mean, things just would disappoint over and over and over again. And I went through that seven-year period, and now light began to shine into my life. There were some other steps. There were some people who sat in a room with me and said, this is ending in your life today. This thing that has you is ending now. It's here now, and you came in with it. But when you leave, it's not going to be on you anymore. You need some people to go to war for you. You need to have some trusted people in your life that you will allow to pray. You will allow them to pray over the things you don't want to talk about so that you get free enough to be a blessing to somebody else. Hope you're listening. So I took that experience, and I was on a Zoom call with that same brother later that day, and he said, interesting, because there's a lady that's going to be on today, and she had an experience where a messenger of God came to her. And she shared about how her family, later in the next half hour in that Zoom call, she shared about how members of her family, a son and a daughter, wouldn't talk to each other. Another daughter of hers, she has a large family, would never come to see her parents anymore, her and her husband. She would come around like every 6 months and just kind of like keep mom and dad at arm's length. And she said, I've prayed over it. I've tried talking to them. She did everything she could, but nothing was working. And then she had this experience where she saw this messenger of God, and she said, God, what's he here for? And he said, he's a ministering angel of reconciliation. And so she was just smart enough to go, well, that's the angel of reconciliation, work in my family. That's what she said. I think she prayed some more too, but what she reported was, this is 2 weeks after that happened, that son and daughter who didn't talk to each other, they started talking to each other. Her other daughter came home and said, Mom, I just want to spend some time with you. Must be, Stephanie, it's got to be a coincidence, right? I mean, these random things just happen, right? And other issues in the family where people had irritation with one another and just weren't getting along and where things hadn't been settled, over the next 2 weeks, all those things started happening. Certainly a coincidence, right, Vicky? So do you get it? It's kind of like with Gideon. I mean, he didn't understand what was coming, by this messenger coming and saying, you know, hail, valiant one. I mean, he didn't understand that that messenger did more than just give him a greeting. Something came with him. In my sister's life, when she had this experience of seeing an angelic messenger who was called a messenger of reconciliation, she was silly enough to believe it could be possible, and she said, let him just go ahead and move my family. And then, not coincidentally, but by the destiny of God, things began to unfold in her family that were stuck. So, before we go any further, some of us here need some heavy things lifted off of our family members. There's some unforgiveness. There's some bitterness. There's some pain. There's some misunderstanding. There's some things that you could call mental illness, but really it's not. It's just the assault of hell upon somebody. There's some things and some burdens on people. You know, lifting a Toyota Camry would be easy rather than lifting depression off of somebody that you love. But if that's you, if you got somebody with a heavy burden in your life, I just want you to stand up right where you are right now. Don't we need help from heaven that will lift the heavy burden? Don't we need that? God, I don't think the vision was for me. I don't think that appearing to me was for Pat Bryson. I think even as I talked with other people and we prayed, we realize that you're doing something right now on the earth, that heaven is touching earth right now, that in the midst, get the picture, in the midst of all the shaking that's happening in our nations, in the midst of war in Europe, which we haven't seen since the 1930s, in the midst of all the upset and all the things that's going on around us and the environment and what's going to happen, and gee, I had to pay $5 for gas and all the stuff that's going on, in the midst of that, heaven is touching earth. Because the increase of activity and upsetness on the earth is a reflection of something going on in the spirit realm. And ultimately, the biggest cause of it is God himself, because he's up to something. And there are things now that God wants to move in the lives of our family members and people that we love that are too heavy for us to lift and too heavy for them to lift. But heaven is helping right now. And so right now, for everybody that's standing, we come into agreement with the messengers that you sent. We come into agreement with the throne of God, because really how you do it isn't the important issue. It's that you have set yourself to do something in our day. And we say that whether it be mental illness, depression, discouragement, addiction, unforgiveness, bitterness, or desires of the human flesh, Lord, that destroy people, we say that those things are going to be lifted off. Name the person that you have in mind. Thank you right now. Thank you right now for Dawn, God. Thank you for Deborah. Thank you for lifting those things, God. And we're simple people, Lord. This is not a matter of rah-rah, and we feel excited right now, but we believe that you're doing something. And we say, yes, we are interceding right now. Actually, the most powerful thing in this is not the messengers you've sent, but our agreement with you. Because if two or three of us agree touching anything, Lord, it will be done in heaven. We agree right now for liberty, for freedom, for movement of reconciliation, lifting of heavy burdens, and freedom for these people we just named before you right now. And we thank you for it, Father, right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Tell at least two people before you set that God is up to something. He's up to something. He's up to something. So Pastor said I had to be done by 4, so I'll try and accelerate me as quick as possible. So the 10th verse of Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Do you realize that we're supposed to live a life of putting on Christ every day? I'm putting on the new me. I'm putting on the new self, which is recreated, really the language here, that we've been recreated in the image of Christ. Christian means actually bearer of Christ or little Christ. That I'm so like, in the real me is so like Jesus that you could become confused seeing us standing together. Woo! That God has clothed me with the reality of himself. I'm in Christ. And he's infused me on the inside with the precious Holy Spirit. And I am transformed into his image. And I'm just like him in character and nature. Wow. So consciously, you know, when that guy cuts you off, you know, and you're tempted to raise one finger and salute to him because you think so much of how he's driven so appropriately in front of you and threatened your family. I know none of you are like that, but when that is a temptation, I didn't say you did that, but rather in that moment, put on Christ, put on the new self, say that's I'm really just like Jesus, and Jesus doesn't do things like that. And maybe I just need to pray for that man, that he doesn't destroy himself and somebody else today, rather than giving him a one-finger expression of what I think of him. Put on, having put on, it assumes they have, having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and after the image of its Creator. He says, here there is not Greek nor Jew. Neither are there circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. So in our day, you know, it's really not about your ethnic identity. It's not about your role in life. It's not about your skill set. It's not about, you know, your heritage, your Italian or your Greek or whatever you are. It's not about all those things. Not that those things aren't realities, but there's something so superior to our earthly identity. You know, don't you find it to be true? I have met people that are completely different from me. I'm more one in spirit immediately than I am even with family members that I've spent my whole life with. Because the unity is in the spirit. See how powerful that is? We are such there's such a dynamism of God in our lives that we should be so liberated on every occasion that we come together, because Christ lives in you and Christ lives in me. And he's powerful through you. The coming together of the body of Christ, this is the time, one of the things that God is shaking the church to is back to its original purpose. God is shaking the church back to its original purpose. It's not about programs. It's not about building projects and a lot of good things that we can do. I didn't say they were bad. They're good. You have a big need for room? Fine. You need an accommodation for it. But that isn't what makes us righteous. That isn't what makes us effective. Love is what makes us effective. Serving one another, forgiving one another, that's what makes us effective. When that dynamism of the Holy Spirit is working in a group of people and they go deeper with one another, and you begin to pray one another out of your stuff and pray people into your destiny. Somebody help me. When you begin praying people out of whatever has a hold of them and praying them into their destiny, then something is afoot. God is up to something. Shh. God's reducing the church to love is what he's doing. He's reducing us to original design. He's bringing us back to where, you know, as it is in China, like, we aren't going to have a church meeting unless the Holy Spirit tells you where it is and what time it is. You know, I mean, go to a church meeting in the underground church in China, you got to hear from the Holy Spirit or you won't even find it. That'd be challenging, wouldn't it? But I think it'd be enriching, too. I mean, we would just get a lot more, right, Frank? We'd just lean on Holy Spirit a lot more. What could that be like? Well, you know, you don't have to wait for persecution for that to happen. What I'm leaning into you to God. Everybody practice leaning a little bit, you know. John leaned into the breast of Jesus. Notice he was the only one who did. 12 people had the opportunity. One chose to do it. I'm just going to hear the heartbeat of God. I wonder why he stayed around till Revelations. What do you think? He just spent that time just getting his ear tenderized and his heart tenderized to the heart of God. Did you know he was a bigot? He wanted to call down a nuclear strike on the Samaritan cities because he hated them. And then he became the apostle of love. See what God can do with you. Well, we better read some scripture here. We're being slow. And I have some words for a few people. And it says here, so there is no, it's not the outward identity of our ethnicity, our professions, other things. That's not what identifies us. But Christ is all in all. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Did you know you're holy and you're beloved? Hello. Okay, some of you are going to have an argument with God today because you don't feel like it, but God says you're holy. Just deal with it. Did you know holiness is relational? It's not a list of what to do and not to do. It's about, the scripture says, God says, be holy for I am holy. And really the language is there is, since I am holy, you will be holy. It's relational. As I draw near to God, all the things that impede me, I let go of them. And anything that accelerates my affections for him, I cling on to and I draw closer to him. So holiness comes out of relationship. It doesn't come out of what to do and not to do. That's called the law. So it says, put on then, holy and beloved, compassion, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, I'm sure that never happens at Christian Fellowship in Jefferson City. But if one has a complaint against one another, everybody smile at me now. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So also must you forgive. And above all these things, everybody say above. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, I think we need to get sensitized to Holy Spirit to where the peace of God is the umpire that decides whether we do things or don't do things. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means that God's word is so dear to you that it lives in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. You should meditate on that for a while. Hallelujah. So, I'm supposed to walk out on thin air. It's what I do. So I don't know you nice folks, but if you wouldn't mind standing up. Yes, you nice two people there. There we go. First of all, the affection of God for you is really just overwhelming in my heart right now. You know, all the patient service. You know, all the times that you have forgiven. All the times that you bore with, even in misunderstanding. God's proud of you. God is so proud of you. And this is a time when seeds that have been long dormant are going to become fruitful. Do you realize that they found seeds in the Egyptian tombs that were buried with the pharaohs, and they took them out and they planted them? And even though it had been 2,000 years, they blossomed. You need to hear that. There's some seeds that were buried and you thought they were long dead, but they weren't dead. They were just dormant. And God says, this is the time that those seeds that were just laying there are going to blossom and bloom, and they're going to bring forth a harvest, and you're going to get to partake of it. You're going to see some people from 20 and even 30 years ago, and even when there was misunderstanding, and there's got the reconciling spirit of God, is the spirit of reconciliation, is going to give you back some measure of relationship again. He's going to let you see young people that you thought were far gone, and you're going to see the turnaround in their life, and you're going to be able to celebrate it. And there's going to be some things that even 5 to 10 years ago seemed impossible to ever happen. They're going to happen. I'm talking about relationships. They're going to blossom in your life, and you're going to see it. And God says this to you: you've been faithful, and I'm faithful as well. Everybody stretch a hand out towards their friends. And your names, folks?
Dan and
Ann. Okay, Father, we thank you for Dan and Ann. We thank you for the season they're in right now of receiving on seeds that have been laying dormant for years. But Lord, that time is over. Everybody say it's over. And now the seeds are going to blossom and bloom. There's going to be fruitfulness out of those seeds, God, and they're going to enjoy it. They're going to get to enjoy it. Father, in their extended family and all the people that they've ministered to over the years, you are working. You are working. Everybody say, you are working. And even relationships that seem like they could never turn around and hopes that seemed like they were lost, God, you're the restorer of all things. And we agree together for that right now. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, he's good, isn't he? He's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. He's good all the time. Whew. Oh, he's lovely. I'm sorry, ma'am, what's your name? You don't have to stand up, but what's your name?
Mary.
Mary? Hi. Mary, God loves you a whole lot. He thinks you're extraordinary, you know. You have a faith that causes you to turn and look at Jesus over and over and over again. Some of the last things that you say every day is, Jesus, you're really good to me, and I love you. Am I talking to the right Mary here? I guess I am. And God finds your faith to be extraordinary and excellent. He's like really pleased with you. So I'm just speaking a blessing over you right now. Mary, this is a time where the nearness of God that you've cultivated is going to become even more precious to you.
Yeah.
Rather than times and temptations to think that you're alone, that's not true. Jesus is going to show himself to you over and over and over again by his nearness. And I just declare that over you, the fellowship of God and the Holy Spirit, the nearness of God, which Scripture says is your good, I declare that for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Candy?
Yeah, Candy. Inspiration is coming in like 3 or 4 different areas of your life. And I mean, some areas are apparent to me, but it's not just those areas. I feel like you're inspired in a number of different areas of art, but there's also things that you craft that not everybody would call art, but you're really, really good at crafting prayers and interceding for people. And God loves how you craft your prayers. And God loves how you have pointed points, appointed times and pointed prayers for particular people. And he said they're effective. Because the Word of God says that the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous person does great works. Does great works. He's encouraging you. I feel like there's people you have prayed with, but he's going to give you new prayer partners. He's going to give you people that whose passion matches or exceeds your own. And you're going to like people that sit out running. I know a lot about that because I did it about 30 years ago. That's a joke. You're going to provoke one another in your zeal and passion for prayer, and you're going to provoke one another to going deeper into the heart of God and into hearing his voice on behalf of others. So I just release that over you. There's something about business that God wants to cause there to be an increase. Wow. Increase. You know, it's one thing, for instance, if somebody's a real estate, it's one thing to go out and sell homes. But then there's the favor of God that comes over where you get referral after referral after referral. And you find yourself having an income that's greatly increased because of favor being manifested. You were kind and gracious to people, and now it's coming back to you as the world says, in spades. You're getting a great, great return on the kindness and excellence you showed. So in business, there's going to be the favor of God manifesting in increase. Isn't he good? Somebody say he's good. God is really, really good and kind, you know. The thing about the prophetic anointing is, you know, occasionally when the Holy Spirit moves, everybody gets something. But, you know, everybody got something already. But there's just a couple more people the Lord wants me to share with. You, sir, I forgot your name.
My name is Peter.
Hey,
Pete. I need to apologize first.
Yeah.
I met with you on Facebook, remember?
Oh, yeah, now I remember. Peter, good to see you. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here today. I didn't make that connection. We got to pray together. That was awesome. Peter, just really like a new time, like the pages turned in the timing of your life right now. And there's been some things that have been frustrating to you. I don't remember a lot of the conversation, but I have a real sense that like some things just frustrate you. Like, why doesn't this work? And yeah, you know, I wish this would just pan out the way it's supposed to. But, you know, there are several things. One is there's something called warfare that happens against a believer. The enemy doesn't like you, and he tries to resist you. And the enemy thinks, if I can get Pete frustrated enough, he'll either get up, quit, or just feel sorry for himself. And, you know, you've passed that test. You've felt sorry for yourself a few times, but God's been encouraging you, and you recognize that God is your source. And so he said, I'm bringing you into new relationships. Get excited, Peter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that God would just come and take away my sadness all by myself, but the way he usually takes away sadness and discouragement and heaviness is he brings us into real fellowship with one another. You get some people who have like ideas or a heart that's after yours, and you can sit with them, and you don't have to explain yourself, and they get you, and God's going to give you some people around you like that. The other thing that God's going to do is he's going to focus on the skills you already have, and he's going to give you an open door for the skills you already possess so you don't have to go back to school. Say hallelujah. He's going to focus on the skills you have, and he's going to put you in the right place at the right time, and doors are going to open. So I declare that over you. The other thing I declare is that you have a calling. You need to hear that, Pete. You have a calling. God did not forget about you. God did not put you on the back shelf. God has a calling for your life. And you're a man of great compassion who could be of great help to people who have struggled. And your testimony is, I struggled too, but now God's brought me on the other side of that. So I'm reaching my hand back to you to help you get out of what you struggle with. Everybody stretch a hand out towards Pete. Father, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for the refining work he's been through, but now we thank you for breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. In multiple areas of his life, in his employment, Father God, in relationship, Father God, in encouragement, and then in his being a blessing to other people, that you enable him, that you grace him, and that you strengthen him, even right now. We thank you for it, Father. Just a couple other things I'm hearing in the Spirit. Some of you just need to recognize that the reality is that you won't be in the Spirit unless you're intentional. Everybody smile at me now. That the present age means that if I am just kind of indifferent and think that that happiness, joy, and victory is just going to meet me every day without me doing anything, that everything was just going to be hunky-dory, you're living with the wrong mindset. Everybody smile at me. I'm saying this in love. God really wants you to be more intentional in this season. I cannot take for granted that happiness is going to be mine if I don't give myself over to the Spirit of God. Got some questions for you to ask. Holy Spirit, what are you doing in my life right now? God, what are you doing in the lives of the people I care about right now? Lord, for the people I meet today, will you enable me to look at them with your eyes? So I don't just see the exterior, but I see the potential of what you want to do in their life. And Lord, if you bring people to me today in the way, I will be kind. I will love them. and I'll do anything you tell me to do. I hope that's helpful to you. Stand up to your feet if you would. There's power of God is here. Power of God is here to take you into a new place. Power of God here is here to transport you from where you are right now into a deeper place with Him, a deeper place of fruitfulness in your life. I'm praying for you right now. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, God, that there's a yes and an amen in this house. Somebody say it. There's a yes and an amen to going deeper with you, God. There's a yes and amen in our spirit that we're going to be more loving, more forgiving, more kind, not because we're going to try really hard, but because Holy Spirit fellowship is increasing within us. Right, Candy? Holy Spirit fellowship is increasing inside of us, and we can't help ourselves to forgive people. We can't help but bear with one another. We can't help but persist and serve one another more than we have before, not as a duty or an obligation, but just because you're moving in our life, God, and we thank you so much for it. And on the other side of that, just like a young man named Gideon, God, outside of the walls of the prison we've made for ourselves, you're inviting us out to be deliverers and rescuers of others. And there's gifting in our life. There's false altars that are going to be torn down, and there's new things that you're bringing us into, God. And we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.